Hey, you're listening to Blindsight. Let's go. Mental health isn't something to take lightly. It's time to fight. It's time to thrive. Let's do this.
Welcome to Blindsight. This is your host, Bill Lundgren. And in the sequence that we're giving people on the 12 steps, we're now in step 8. And that's where the rubber hits the road. And we're delighted, I'm delighted to have Jeff Slund from the Betty Ford Center, continuing the process that we've been doing in the steps. And Jeff, how are you?
I am well, Bill. Hello. It is always good to see you. Such an honor to be here. So super excited.
Great. Well, would you remind us what step 8 is?
I certainly will. And I think you hit the nail on the head where you said the rubber meets the road with step 8. So step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all.
And that's quite a tall order.
That certainly is.
What was that like for you?
Well, in my journey of getting sober, like I believe I had shared with you before, I did go through the Betty Ford Center in 2003, and that was my last. So I've been continuously sober since then, but I had started attempting to get sober back in 1996. So, or 1998. So it took me a while to actually get into recovery and surrender, but
to stick.
Pardon me?
To stick, to get it to stick.
Yeah, well, yeah, yes, exactly. And actually do the work. And, with the 12 steps, I always picked and choose what I wanted to do. It's like, okay, I'll do this one or I'll do this one halfway. But then when I finally really took it seriously and got a sponsor and worked the steps and did them in order the way they're supposed to be done, you know, step 8 was the first time I did step 8, it was really like, wow. Now, again, this is a step where you really have to get, you have to work, and you really need, I needed to make a list of all the people. And when I was making my list, you know, I forgot some people, and then things would pop up and it's like, oh gosh, I forgot all about that one or that person. And I need to put them on the list. I need to make amends to them. So it's really about, to the best of my ability, or to do a thorough list.
Right.
And I think that's where, depending upon where somebody is or where I was at the first time I did it, I truly believed I made a thorough list at that time, right? But I also, you know, reworking the steps as I continue to be in recovery, more comes to mind. And it's like, oh my gosh. To be honest, Bill, it's like, oh, I forgot all about that one. And I don't know how I forgot it, you know.
Collective memory.
And it's really about continually looking at me, at my past, or at just my journey. Mm-hmm. And the list, you know, and the nice thing is I can remember something or put them on a list and I can literally do it that day. You know, it doesn't have to be, okay, I have to wait. So, you know, if someone, you know, that I'd harmed or cheated or lied to or was, you know, hurt, you know, I can just pick up the phone today and say, hey, you know, I'd like to talk to you about something. And then for an alcoholic like me, the sooner the better, because I can procrastinate and that never does.
We all can.
You know, I'll do it tomorrow or I'll do it next week. Right. Well, it doesn't take that long to really pick up the phone and make amends. So, or be willing. So.
But that's pretty scary. You know, the idea of.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To confront, and you don't know what people are going to respond. And we'll talk about that in step nine. But for you, what we're talking about right now, just being ready and remembering all those instances. And you know, I think for a lot of the steps, as we keep going over and over, we'll remember a lot more. And you know, for me, you know, I had a blackout, so that's never going to come back. But fortunately, the person I was with filled in the blank spaces. So,
oh, yeah. You know, they often will fill in our, I mean, I laugh now, but when you're hearing it, right?
It's, right. Oh, I did what? Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, so, it's.
The part of the list making maybe having, you know, somebody who was around you kind of fill in the ones you're forgetting.
Right.
But, it occurred to me as we were talking about this that we don't talk about who we may have hurt the most and we need to make amends to. And I don't know whether this is self-serving or not, but I think we have to make amends to ourselves for things that happen, the things that we did, things that the times when we neglected ourselves, we put ourselves at risk. I think there is as much that as making amends to other people. Am I wrong?
I mean, I don't know if I've ever heard someone say that before. And it's true.
Yeah, I know.
Though,
nobody talks about that.
I mean, we always talk about, well, you've got to make a list of all the people you have harmed, or I have harmed. And it's like, well, I've harmed myself. And we never, or I've never, to be honest, since now, I've never really looked at that. And, you know, I'm friends with an older gentleman here who is struggling with sobriety. And I'll tell you, he just beats himself up to a pulp about what he's done and why he can't get sober and all this. And it's, I think if we learn to put ourselves on that list and be a little more gentle with ourselves. I think we belong on that list of people we have harmed. You're absolutely right. We can't, you know, we can't dwell on the past, like they say, but we can't, we can't shut the door on it, but we can't relive it all the time.
Right.
And think of everything that I've done. I mean, my gosh, I think it could be paralyzing to even.
Well, you could put it into a book and publish it.
I could. I don't know who would want to read it, but maybe if I gave you a copy. And I would buy one. That would be two. But
But it's a step that is so important to take for us to just be honest with ourselves. And I'm digressing from making amends to ourselves, but to be honest about all the things that we've done. and to really own up to it, it's both daunting and helpful at the same time.
Yeah.
And but again, if we can allow ourselves some time to forgive ourselves for the harm that we did ourselves, it sort of puts it, I think, in a perspective that, you know, I hurt everybody, including me.
Yeah, right. And I think, you know, step eight is a very important step because, like you said, you got to think about it and really do some soul searching and put people on that list. And it's not something that you have to do in an afternoon. I mean,
no, you can't do it in an afternoon. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think some people want to, and I've been guilty of this and, you know, in the past, you know, just kind of checking off the steps like, okay, did that. Let's move on to this one. And it's not a race. It's not a race to get done with the steps. So really, if you're going to do them and honestly and thoroughly work them, then it does take some time, you know.
And as you said, you know, after I do this, then, you know, other things come up or we talk to somebody else and we say, oh, and then there is perfect license to go back to step eight and at any time.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really the beautiful thing about this, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, oh, yeah. I mean, and you're right. Talking with someone that may trigger a memory or, oh, is that something I need to make an amends for? You know, it's, or perhaps I didn't think this person deserved or should, you know, deserved an amends. And it's like, oh yeah. Okay. I see that now. So it's interesting. And that's the beauty of the program, just working with others, no matter who you are, we can learn from everyone that we meet in the program.
But what does it do to our feelings about ourselves when we make that list?
Well, it can, I think, and I can just, you know, speak for me, but it can be sometimes awfully daunting and think, holy smokes.
I'm such a terrible person. I did.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I'm really horrible.
Right. I don't deserve to be around and, you know, and make friends with people because I've been so awful. And that's
right.
That's, you know, I guess knowing that we're ready to make amends can give a sense of hope. I'm hoping that it does that. Because if we keep beating ourselves up, what's the advantage of, you know, of sobriety or whatever it is that we're trying to deal with?
Right. Well, exactly. I mean, I think we can beat ourselves up. And it's like we need to learn forgiveness. And like you said, you know, put ourselves on the list and forgive ourselves also.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we are, you know, no matter what you're struggling with, it is a disease, right?
Yes.
And we've got to remember that. It's not like a get out of jail free card. Say, oh, well, I'm an alcoholic. I have a disease, so I can be mean and horrible and treat people, you know.
Or I can ignore the fact that while I was under the influence, I had no control over what I was doing. And therefore, end of discussion.
Well, exactly. And it's like I'm absolved from all, you know, wrongdoing, if you will, right?
Right.
And it's like, no, that's not the case. I can, you know, I'm sorry I stole from you, or I'm sorry I did that to you because I have a disease. Well, that I just don't believe that cuts it. Mm-hmm. So we do need to see our part.
Yeah.
Right.
But we have to also in doing that, okay, say this is what I did and I'm sorry for it, and I have a way of dealing with it. Now, the next step, of course, we have to make some choices as to who we make amends with. But the point is, certainly in this step, is one, not to, we can beat ourselves up with the mistakes that we made. But that's got to be tempered by the fact that, look, there's a way out. There's a way of absolving it. And I think that's what being ready to make amends is, that sense that I have hope that I can fix it, unless it, and the next step says, unless it would harm someone else. But there is, by making amends means in my understanding, amends is not really apologizing. Part of it is apologizing, but the amend part is actually seeing if there's something you can do to repair the damage. Is that right?
Yes, because I think just calling or talking to people and saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I think they've heard that for so long from many of us. And it's like, you know what, Bill, I've heard you say I'm sorry so many times. It really doesn't mean anything. And I like that making amends is not just an apology, but it's how can I make this right? Mm. And, which is kind of getting into step nine. But the thing is, it's just putting, just looking at that list in step eight and saying, okay, like you said, Bill, it's not just random, just checking off the people and saying, I'm sorry, I did that. And it really, I think it gives us room for contemplation, perhaps, mm-hmm. To think about how can I make amends, or what do I need to do?
What do I need to do to make amends, and so that I can finish it off?
Right.
In the sense of, okay, if I can make amends, or if the conversation with someone, the person says, I appreciate your willingness to tell me what happened, what was going on. I don't need anything more. That sort of closes it, if the person chooses to do that.
And even if they don't accept, or, it's like, well, thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
And I appreciate it, but, I think
it hurt me so deeply. I don't want to have anything to do with you in that.
And I have to accept that, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't have to accept my amends, but I do want to make one, mm-hmm. which is, again, we're kind of going a little into step nine, but.
Yeah.
It's, but I think it's kind of enmeshed. And I'll tell you, I think like a very good alcoholic, Bill, and I'll tell you in probably January, it was probably February of 2003. I had about a month and a half under my belt. I thought, well, I'm just going to start jumping right to step nine because there are people I need to call.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but I'll tell you, there's a reason the steps are in order, and it's a horrible It never works out the way I was anticipating.
And
you don't do that.
Well,
I learned the hard way.
Yeah, you have to really be ready. And that's why that was interesting to me in looking at these steps again and saying, no, wait a minute, you don't want to rush into this. You want to be real clear.
Right.
And you know, in step nine, you're really making some choices that to who you're going to make amends to.
Right.
But the scary part is, oh my God, I have to own up to things that I've done, and I'm not sure that I'm ready for it. And you have to say, okay, you're still at step eight, and you have to stay at step eight before you go to nine.
Right.
And it is a readiness, because humility is not in strong market these days. You know, and it takes humility to make amends, I think.
Oh my goodness, absolutely. And it's got to be heartfelt, and it's got to be honest. And, you know, with, you know, being humbled, mm-hmm. You know, it's not just words. We have to truly mean them. And
yeah,
you're right.
That's the key.
You know, are we ready? You know, and are we ready to move on from step eight to step nine? But we need to do, you know, again, a thorough and honest list.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, our minds, our brains tend to be selective in what it lets us pay attention to, because sometimes the material is so scary that it just automatically puts a little closet around that particular memory until we make ourselves ready to hear it.
It's sometimes an ongoing process, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, like I say, I'm not going to knock it off or knock it out on a Tuesday afternoon. Say, okay, I'm ready to move on. You know, it really, I think our minds are, you know, maybe don't want us to remember certain things.
Right,
but,
right. And that's a protective mechanism of our brain.
Yeah.
When our brain decides, oh, he's not ready to hear, to remember this.
Right. But a lot of times everything comes back.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. I can't believe I did that.
I know. But, you know, and with the way the steps are formulated, if you will, you know, it's like, okay, well, there's a plan for that, you know, and I can move forward.
Well, what happened to you when you started making amends? You know, first you had to be ready, and it sounds like it was a continual process for you to be ready to make amends. And without going too much into step nine, there had to be something that said to you, I'm ready. I'm ready now.
Well, you know, I knew in my heart, I just knew deep down that if I didn't, complete or work the steps thoroughly, I wasn't going to continue to stay sober.
Mm.
So I think, you know, I knew then that this isn't something just to, like I say, check off or do. And I knew that in order for me to live my life as a sober man in recovery, I needed to be ready. And sometimes, you know, and again, not getting too much into step nine. And sometimes it's scary because I'm making that phone call,
right.
But I needed to begin making amends. Because if I'm not, then I'm just stagnant. And some are easier than others. Mm-hmm. Some are scarier than heck. But I knew I had to do it. And the thing is, in some cases, I made it worse in my own head than it actually was. But I mean, the amends or making the amends. But it's just something that I knew I had to do.
So I think what I'm hearing you tell me is that was a sign that you were really serious about this program. I mean, because if you didn't care, it wouldn't be bothering you as much. Or you would say, as you said, just, oh, call up and make amends and apologize, and that's the end of it. So what you were doing in step 8 is really taking the whole program and your history and putting it together and say, you know, if I don't do this, my care of myself is just going to go down the tube.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, for the longest time, you know, starting back in 98, when you know, my first treatment center, it was, you know, going to AA meetings, it was, okay, here are the first, you know, and I just seemed to knock off the first 3 steps. Boom, boom, boom. You know, oh yeah, I believe in a higher power. I believe in God. You know, and I, you know, step 2 and 3, but I never thoroughly or honestly worked any of the steps until the last time, you know, and that for me, it was always, and I knew that, you know, then working step 4, that was like the big one. Mm-hmm. To really, it's like, okay, now this is serious. This is, or I'm taking it serious, and this is some serious stuff, you know, because if I don't do this, I literally didn't know what would happen to me. You know, I didn't think, I just didn't know. And it's like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I got to do this. Otherwise, I'll probably drink again. Because I just know me. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, and then making the list for amends is, okay, another tough one. But the thing is, you get through it.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got the support of others around you that have gone through this.
Or let's put it this way, you've got to have the support of others around you as you go through this. Particularly, that's what I'm thinking about. You could beat yourself up and not tell anybody what's going on, and it just, you know, it's going to, in some ways, be harmful. But if you're, you know, doing the work seriously, and that's why a sponsor can be, particularly at this point, very important. Because the sponsor can, you know, has been through it. He knows, he or she knows what it's like. And to be able to encourage you and help you to see the light that's at the end of the tunnel, which you really have to have. Because we can sit and say we're the most awful person in the world and just obsess about that and not do anything. And, you know, so what's going to keep us sober?
Right.
You have to have the hope in order to do it. And that's with them being ready to make amends. I've got a way out. This is really offering a way out when we accept that we can make amends.
Yeah. And often, you know, and also I think sharing with others, I mean, with your sponsor and others, perhaps either in a meeting, whether it's in person or virtual, just about the fear. And it's amazing how people will come up to you afterwards and say, oh, yeah, you know, I know exactly what you're going through. I did the same thing, but this is what I did to help me get over that. So, you know, again, it's the program of that we don't have to do this alone.
Yeah.
And no matter what you're going through, no matter what, you know, whether it's you know, chemical dependency or substance use, or it can be a sexual addiction or shopping, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. You've got the support of others around you. And by sharing that, I just think it lightens the burden.
Well, that's what Dr. Bob and Bill W. did for each other and said, aha, you know, this is what we need to have, in their case, other alcoholics hear what we're going through and supporting us as we go through it to find the solution and find the way out of the pain that we're in and remain sober.
Right. Because if we don't, then I think if we don't work the steps, then we will drink again.
And we're not taking it seriously. We're not taking our recovery seriously. And that's what I'm hearing from you saying, you know, doing the steps, I really began to take this all seriously, and that's why I'm sober today.
Yeah.
And that's a big benefit.
And then when you start, or when I, you know, it is serious to me, it seems to get easier, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this and it's okay. And again, I don't have to do it perfectly, but it's this is important to me. And, you know, I'm sure with you and in all your years of being in recovery and having, you know, your practice with all of your clients and saying, well, you know, how do you stay sober? And why, you know, why can't I get sober, or why can't I stay sober? And it's like, oh God, I'm not here to tell people why they can't or why they can, but I can certainly, you know, the steps can certainly help in helping that person to really get honest and surrender to the disease, and realize that, you know, there is hope through the steps. So, you know, the gentleman I was referring to earlier, he goes, well, I'm not hopeless. And I said, of course you're not hopeless. None of us are hopeless.
Well, some
but
people
we just
feel
need
that,
help.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And if I sit down and do all the, look at all the things I did wrong, I could really get a big dose of hopelessness. And that's why the amend being is, I think, very important, because we have to feel like, oh, I can resolve this, not absolve, but resolve this in some way for me by taking responsibility for what I did.
Exactly.
And being able to address it with the person who I might have harmed. But that's that is a whopping step.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, another important one.
I asked this earlier, but the question for you, what did it feel like once you decided, I'm ready to make amends. I'm ready to talk to other people about it. I'm ready to pick up that phone. I'm ready to do the very thing that I'm afraid of doing.
I think it's a sense of relief. It's like, okay, now I'm ready to move on.
Right.
And I can do this. and I'm not helpless or hopeless, and I'm going to move on with the next step. So it really, I think it empowered me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be easy or always pleasant, but it's like, I can do this. I absolutely can. And to be honest, I need to do this and I want to do this. Not that I have to do it.
Right.
Well, I mean,
I wanted to do it.
Right. Yeah. And right. I think that's a big difference.
That's the key of step eight is I want to do this. I'm willing right. to make amends. I'm willing to do whatever it takes in order to keep myself sober.
Right.
Or recover from whatever it is that I'm dealing with. And
exactly. And it, yeah. you know, it doesn't matter what, but when you're ready, it's like, okay, yes. And I do want to do this. So, it's kind of exciting too.
Mm-hmm.
Exciting and scary, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But
I do want to do this. So we'll see the outcome, right? We'll see the outcome in step nine, but,
Change does not come easily, does it?
No. And you know, they always say, you know, when I first got sober many, many times, getting, you know, the only thing you have to change is everything, which is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, right.
You know, oh, is that all? And again, yeah, change is good for you, Bill, but not for me. So, you know, do as I say, not as I do. But yeah, change is important, and yeah. I think it's a big part of the 12 steps, part of recovery.
Well, what do we say about insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Exactly. Right.
And I'm thinking of a Shakespeare statement, half measures availeth nothing.
Yeah.
And that's very true. And that,
yeah.
Both of those apply. Mm-hmm.
No. I mean, it's just not going to work.
But the joy of sobriety does work.
Absolutely. So,
thank you so much for being on Blindsight and giving us your experience and insight. I hope that people are paying attention, and you've certainly proven your success using the steps and doing working the program the way you have, and that's what we need to see, people who are making use of it, learning from it, and benefiting from it in order for us to make the step, that take the step that we need to do, knowing that other people like you, and this is why it's been so important to have people on this program who have been through it, to say, oh, yeah, well, if he can do it or she can do it, then I guess there's hope for me.
Absolutely. And it's been such a pleasure. So thank you.
Do you have any final words you want to leave people with?
No, I think I love what you're doing. I love what you're bringing to all your listeners. I think it's important to really talk about the 12 steps. And I think the way you're presenting it to your listeners is exactly what people need to hear. So kudos to you, my friend, and continue your great work.
And thank you for participating in it. I appreciate it. And I say to our listeners, take heart. You know, there is a way out. There are people who are there in the program who are willing to help. And it doesn't have to be so frightening. If you feel like you need to take some of the steps that we've been talking about, and we'll be going into nine, which is really that's when, after you've made a decision to make amends, to actually do it, and how. And that's, I'm looking forward to that episode, and I look forward to having you join us again. This is Bill Lundgren with our guest, Jeff Slund, and we wish you the best. We wish you also, if you have some feedback to give us, to some ideas for programs, or even negative criticism, we welcome all of them. The feedback line is 720-712-8856, or by email, feedback@aftersight.org. Thank you for being with us, and we look forward to having you join us next week.